And action. Erev Shabbat Shalom, Parashat Noach today is Bet B'Malchishvan. And in honor of the upcoming Yahrzeit of Maran Zichrono Livracha this coming Shabbat tonight, before Shabbat, don't forget, light a Yahrzeit candle next to your Menorah Shabbat. No, let it. Don't light a 9-day one, but like, I don't know. Not you. You could technically. But anyway, and the most important thing, it's mutah, it's mutah. Maybe not the nicest thing, but it's okay. I also, even more important than lighting a Yahrzeit candle, Micah, what did I say in the morning? Learn the Sfarim. Yeah, you got to open up the Sfarim and learn his Torah. Huh? Yeah. So, I wanted to share with you, in his honor, in Le'ilu Nishmato, a piece from Chazon Ovadia that has to do with something in this week's parasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, after he destroyed the world with the Mabul, Kadosh Baruch Hu was very, very happy, got Nachat Ruach from Noach's Korbanot, and at that point, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, even though human beings are terrible, and they're full of averot, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Lo yadon ruchi ba'adam la'olam, b'shagam hu basar. At the end of the day, they're flesh and blood, and therefore, no matter what happens, and no matter how sinful they become, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised never again to destroy the world completely. And to that effect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a covenant that would be the berit between us, and that's benit atah keshet be'anan, the rainbow. Unlike the non-Jewish perception that a rainbow is something nice and beautiful and fluffy and, you know, unicorns and pots of gold and stuff like that, a rainbow is actually a supreme symbol of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger to the world. Because first of all, the Gemara says, it's based on a pasuk in Yechizkel, that a rainbow is actually a glimpse of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina. That's why the Gemara says you're not allowed to gaze at it. You're not allowed to gaze at a rainbow. No. The Gemara says you're not allowed to gaze at the rainbow because it's a form of Kvod Hashem. It's a peeking at the Shechina. And the poskim say, based on the Gemara, a person who gazes at a rainbow too much, he loses his eyesight. You're not allowed to gaze. Only for the bracha. What else in halacha aren't you allowed to look at too much? No. What else are you not supposed to look at too much? Levana. Yeah, the moon. Yeah, the levana. You only make the bracha. Look at it for a second. Make the bracha. No. Now listen. Anyway, b'kitzur, there's a few reasons according to the Kabbalah, but that's one. But the Gemara says that if you look at the moon too much, you forget your learning. Yeah, kashem shikha. Anyway, mikol makom, there are halachot. When we see a rainbow, the Gemara tells us, as quoted by the Rambam, poskim Shulchan Aruch, that there's a bracha to be said when you see a rainbow. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, zocher haberit, ne'eman bibrito v'kayem b'ma'amaro. Kadosh Baruch Hu remembers his covenant, faithful in his covenant, and keeps his word, not having destroyed the world. But when you see a rainbow, that means that, first of all, it's a sign that what? Immediately when you see a rainbow, after the first thing you do after the bracha is what? Machzor b'tshuva. Because that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, and he wanted to have destroyed the world at this moment. And if not for the fact... No. Why is he showing it to you? For what?
Why? To make you aware. To make you aware that just then.
Yeah. Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry. And he made a covenant. He promised. And therefore he doesn't do it anymore. So, yeah. Now listen to this. Maran Achida, in Siman Resh Kaftet, in Machzik Beracha, he points out, he says, some say that you can only make this Beracha once a month, like many of the other Birkot Re'iya. Yeah, Berachot on seeing things, right? The Yamagadol, Kivrei Israel, all of the Berachot in the Gemara that have to do with seeing things. What is the frequency by which you can make these Berachot? Once every 30 days, which means 30 full days have to pass, and then on the 31st day, when you see it again, you can make a new bracha. Says the Chida, fake news. Says that doesn't apply to the rainbow. Why? Because he says this concept of 30 days only applies to things which remain in place, and then you go by, you pass. So you have to wait 30 days upon seeing it again. For instance, what? Like Harimu Gva'ot, the Yamagador, all these things are what? They're constant. They're there. What moves around? We do. So over there, yeah, b'emet, you need to wait 30 days for seeing these things again. A rainbow is not constant. A rainbow comes and goes and then can come again. For instance, also, brakimur amin, yeah, for thunder and lightning. Do you make that bracha once every 30 days or do you make that bracha per storm? Why? It's the same thing. That thunder and lightning that was there by the previous storm, this is a new one. So the same thing that we say by a storm, says Maran Chida, applies by a rainbow as well. And it is not true. You can make this bracha multiple times, you know, as many times as you need to during 30 days, every time you see it. Now, not every time you see the same one. Obviously, we're talking about a different one. Now, very interesting. The Sefer Ya'arot Devash. Mike, you remember him? He's Ya'arot Devash. Gaon Rabbeinu Yonatan Eibeshitz. Yeah? Gaon Adirus.
From Hamburg.
Yafe. Yeah? He was originally from Lemberg, but he was the Rav of Kehilot Ahu. You know, it's Ahu, Atuna, Hamburg, Vormaisa. Where's Atuna?
Altona. It's Altona.
Where's it?
Altona. It's part of Hamburg.
So anyway, Bekitzur, so in Poskim, you see that Rashi Tevot Alat, that acronym, Ahu. You ever see that?
Yeah, he's buried in
Altona. So, yafe. So, he has a Sefer Ya'arot Devash. So, there he asks a question on the rainbow. So, he says, on Parashat Noach, on the rainbow, he says, I don't understand why Chazal made a bracha on this. You know, the Chachamim instituted a bracha for sight, for seeing things, it's something spectacular. Wow, you know? Yamagadol, unbelievable. Mount Everest, these things that's spectacular. He says there's nothing really spectacular about a rainbow. He says the way the scientists explain what's a rainbow, the sun hits clouds or water vapor at a certain angle. It creates a prism, and that creates the appearance of a rainbow. It's not anything so, it's pretty, but he says it's nothing so spectacular. Why did the Chachamim institute a bracha on it? You ever thought of that question? What? Fine, but what makes it so spectacular?
Instead of what?
Not instead of anything. It's not spectacular. It's natural. Huh? No, that's like a really impressive thing. It's awesome. He says, what's so awesome about a rainbow? He says, it's natural. And he says over there something very interesting. He says that, here, I'll read to you the thing. He says, V'ita b'zohar ha-kadosh, v'yesh tre gavnei keshet ha-mshunim megvanim shelahem. He says, the Zohar ha-kadosh says that there are two kinds of rainbows. Yeshu tiv'i, there is the natural rainbow, natural, which is the multicolored one. How many colors in the rainbow? Seven, Roy G. Biv. Yes, he says, aval mashu mar'e techelet legamre, u'akeshet sheba lizkor berit. The keshet, the rainbow that the Torah speaks about, that comes to remind us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covenant, and the one we make a bracha on, is fully blue. Kula techelet.
Is that the sky?
That's what he says. It's an unbelievable thing. No, Rvionetan Aibashit. According to the Zohar, in Ya'arot Devash. Now, the Ben Ishchai, in Parashat Ekev, Shana Shniyah, he talks about this, and he says that according to this, according to Rabbi Yonatan Aibashi, it's the only kind of rainbow that you're able to make the bracha on is the tchelet rainbow, the blue one. But he says the minhag doesn't seem to be that way because you see people all the time making brachot on regular multi... I don't know. Never seen one. But I don't know. I have no clue. But that's what he says. But he says, and the Ben Ish Chai ends off, but he says, Umiyu divrei harav ne'emanim bederech drash enam kedaim la'akor minhag Yisrael. You know, the Rav Yonatan Aibashitz was saying it derech darash. He wasn't saying la halacha that you can't, but he says ukvar laakon minhag yisrael shenagu levarech al keshet b'shem malchut. And he says umikol makom erotze leitchased ulevarech b'li shum malchut en maznichin oto. If a person is concerned based on Ya'arot Devash and safek brachot and he does not want to make the bracha b'shem malchut because he's not sure, the Ben Ish Chai says that's a chassid. Yeah, you would say baruch. That's the words of the Ben Ish Chai. So, we find this idea the Ya'arot Tevash is not alone in answering this question. The Netziv also says something very similar. The Netziv says there's a difference between a natural rainbow and a spectacular rainbow. And we're only making brachot on what? Spectacular ones. A natural rainbow is a rainbow that stays there for a little while, stays there. A spectacular rainbow, the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for the Berit, is one that's only seen for a second and then disappears. Which means that according to the Netziv, the only one you'd be able to make bracha on is what? A disappearing rainbow. Huh? Yeah. But again, the poskim don't, we never find any of the poskim rishonim making such a distinction. The Shlach HaKadosh in Parashat Noach says very interesting. Listen to this. Shlach HaKadosh Mizaya. Agon Rabbi Shaya HaLevi Ish Horvitz. Migdolei HaPoskim HaMekubalim. One generation after Manan HaBet Yosef. See, he writes in Parashat Noach, in this week's parasha, he says, Shamati b'shem Rabbeinu Moshe Isserlish, Benama, Shamar she'af al pi she'akeshet ba'anan im yederich ha'teva, mikol makom im ayu zaka'im lo hayta keshet nir'et ba'anan. Yeah? He says, oh, but it's something so natural. He says, you know what the answer is? If we were big tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring the rainbow, but at a time that we couldn't see it, i.e., if we were tzaddikim, like the Torah says, when's the best rain? Yoreh u'malkosh, when's that? Lele Shabbatot. Lele Revi'iyot v'lele Shabbatot. Wednesday night and Lele Shabbat, when everybody's in their home. B'sha'a sh'bnei adam nimtzayim bebatehim, k'mo b'lele Shabbat, v'akeshed lo tira'eh, ela k'shamater yored b'yom. He says, therefore what? He says, physically, a rainbow can only be seen when it rains during the day. And therefore what? If we were ra'ui, if we were worthy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would make it rain only at night. Therefore, we wouldn't be able to see the rainbow. And therefore, even though it's a natural occurrence, but the fact that it's happening during the day and we're able to see it, what does that say about us? That we're not worthy people. And that's why we make the bracha, says the Shema.
It says Doros without the bob, because it didn't come during the years of Rashbi and also the
Pisgah. Aval mikol makom, what do you see from here? Rabotai, listen carefully. What do you see from the Shlach HaKadosh? Which is really, other poskim say the same thing. The Shlach says that a rainbow is only visible during the day. It said that. Nevertheless, the Maharsham, Rabbeinu Shalom Mordechai Mibrejan, who's the, you ever heard of Rav Shalom Shvadron? The Maggid of Yerushalayim? Yeah, so his, you know, all the Rav Pesach Kron's books, the Maggid speaks, the Maggid, that's all based on his stories. So, because he used to stay in his house. So his paternal grandfather, who was named after, Rav Shalom Mordechai HaKoyen Shvadron Mibrejan, who's Gdol Ador, Posek, Atzum. So he writes in Shuta Marsham that even though the Shla says that you can't see a rainbow besides for during the day, according to him, what happens if you see a rainbow at night?
It's not a rainbow.
No bracha. The Maharsham says, and there's a sefer called Sefer HaBerit and other poskim that say that it rained at night and they were able to make out a rainbow at night. It was a little bit paler than usual, but they make bracha even at night, because we don't find the poskim, right? If this was something correct, poskim rishonim in the Gemara should have been mechalik. Right, only during the day, or only the tchelet man. In all of these cases, holds la halacha and maaseh. We're not choshesh for these things. Remember, all these, if it's a multicolored one or a tchelet one, if it's a, you know, standing one or disappearing one, if it's a day one or a night one, and all of these things, minhag Yisrael midore dorot, is that we make bracha on it. Regardless,
b'shem ha'malchut.
What do you mean?
Very often you're driving, after you read it, there's a puddle on the floor, there's a reflection on the floor, that's just a refraction.
So that's, water. Yeah, that's not a rainbow. What I thought you were going to ask, Be'emet, which is a bi'ur halacha in Siman Resh Kaf Tet, asks a very interesting question. And the bi'ur halacha says, there are two different, even when you have a rainbow in the sky, there's two ways you can see it. Number one is goren agula, chatzi goren agula, which means, you can see an entire half circle. When you're looking into the horizon, it looks like you see the whole half circle. That's one way. He says, that for sure you make a bracha.
It's the one in a lot. Yeah, I remember that.
After the ring?
It was a double ring.
It was a who?
A double ring.
Yeah. That's double trouble. Yeah. Especially have colons and not and stuff. Anyway, Bekitsur, or what happens sometimes when you're driving, you're walking, but you only see a partial rainbow. Can you make a bracha on a partial rainbow?
Make a line only?
Not like a piece, a section of the rainbow, not the whole thing. The Mishnah B'ran Biur Anacha leaves this B'tzarich Iyun. He doesn't answer. He says, Tzarich Iyun, Maran Zichron B'rachan Chazon Uvadia, says that the minhag is that poskim are not mechalek, whether you see the whole thing or a little bit of it, it doesn't matter. La'alacha ul ma'aseh, we make it on either or. Now, just to end off this piece over here, he says something very interesting. He says, what did the Ben Yishchai say about the Arud Devash, remember? He says, yes, the minhag is only to make the is to make the bracha even on multicolored rainbows, not the tchelet one. But he says, if a person wants to be mitchassid, to be a chassid, to make the bracha without shum u'malchut, that's okay. Now, Maran Zichron Bracha, this is one of his, you know, one of Maran's pet peeves, if you want to call it, one of his things of making brachot without shem u'malchut. All of the brachot of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, that many of them, the Ben Yishchai says, not the minhag, without shem u'malchut. His shita that he held on to very much. No, you have to say with shem u'malchut. So he says over here, he brings down the, I want to read through the words because this is where the Chazon Ovadia actually goes very, you know, full throttle against the Ben Yishchai, pretty sharp. Listen to what he says. Sometimes when, you know, he wanted to make a point, he had obviously utmost respect for the Ben Yishchai. People think that the Babylonians, the Iraqis, I spoke about this yesterday in the Azkara, you know, for a nice part of his life, he went through a lot of Gehinam from his own Iraqi community. You know that. Right, Ryan? They gave him Gehinam.
Yeah.
Because they gave him Gehinam because he was arguing the Ben Yishchai. But, you know, this happens to be the Darkash al Torah every generation that Chachamim disagree with one another, right? Nobody has monopoly on the Torah. Doesn't the beauty of the Torah, huh? Yeah, in the future. Anyway, Aval Mikol Makom. So there, I said yesterday, I'll get back to this in a minute, but just as historical, when he started giving his famous Drashot and Shiurim in Motzai Shabbat, which Beta Knesset did he give it in?
Yes.
Yazdim. The Yazdi Shul. Why over there? He could have given it anywhere. Could have given a Shiur anywhere, any Shul. You know what it means to have Chacham Ovadia giving a Shiur in your Shul? That's probably the most popular Shiur on the planet, was his Shiur in Motzai Shabbat. Everybody came. Yeah? But that was in his house already.
That was, yeah.
The last few years of his life, it was too weak to go to Yazdim, so he gave in his own shul, in the basement, in the ground floor. Anyway, Aval Mikol Makom, so they asked him, you know, Rabbeinu, why do you want to give the shiur over there in the Yazdim? Why not give it, you know, there are bigger shuls, nicer shuls, why over there? So he says he was always makir tova, had a lot of akarat tov to the Persian community in Yerushalayim. He says, why? Because when he was younger and he wanted to give shiurim and teach Torah and whatever, so the Iraqis, you know, nobody wanted to listen to him over there. Not nobody, but they gave him a lot of, you know, a lot of tzarot. Who gave him a forum and came to shiurim and listened to him and whatever? The Persians. Yeah. And interesting, some of his biggest talmidim, some of my rebbeim in Kollel were Persian from the talmidim from when he was 15 to 20 years old, and he was teaching their parents, workers, you know, simple folks, and he taught them and he convinced them to send their children to yeshiva, and then their children came out to be gdolim because he taught them, and they were
their parents.
Huh? He taught their parents, and then he taught their children. Oh, wow. And they came out of shekolim to the chachamim because, you know, it wasn't so accepted. People went out to work, but he convinced them, send them to yeshiva, whatever. They came out gdole Torah. I had one of my Rosh Kolons who was like that. First of all, one was I had a bunch of Persian Rosh Kolos. Rabbi Moshe Saadian was his Gaon. Rabbi Moshe Saadian is predominant. That's Vadai. Huh? Sadian? No, Saadian. You know? Yeah? Anyway, so he's Vadai Parsi. His father was a Talmid of Maran Zichron Bracha. Another one, Gaon Rabbi Yair Bakshi. Also, his father was a Talmid of Maran Zichron Bracha. Yeah? And they're Rashi Kulalim, Talmid Chachamim, Gaonim Uflagim. From what? From the fact that their parents used to come after a long day of work. They used to come. I used to hear Divrei Elohim Chaim from Maran Zichron Bracha. So he always felt gratitude to that. Even when he became Gdol Ador and he could have gone anywhere, he says, no, I'm going to give it in Nishma. To do a Karat HaTov. Yafe. It's a big thing. You always have to remember where you came from. You understand? When he wasn't yet, he was a Gadol, but he wasn't yet so famous and, you know, so whatever. They came, they listened, and they brought their children, and they gave him a lot of kavod. You know, you have to understand that a person going through the tzarot that he was going through from his own community caused him, he was hurt, he was very upset and depressed. Who gave him chizuk? Chamizratia, but also the Persian community. They gave him chizuk, they came, don't worry, we're going to come, we're going to listen to you, let's, you know, teach us, vizeh. They gave him a lot of kavod. So he was always very, very makir tov. Always very much. So anyway, so how did I get into this? I forgot. So anyway, on the Ben Ish Chai, he says like this. V'hineh ma shesiyem ha-Ben Ish Chai, shemitchased levarech al hakeshet, b'li shem u'malchut, en maznichin oto. When Ben Ish Chai says a person wants to be a chassid, we don't tell him off if he wants to say b'li shem u'malchut. Omer ani she'aoseh ken, hu oseh shelo kadim, v'eno mitchased. ועובר לתקנת חכמים, הוא מפסיד ברכה שלמה, שמאחר שמנהג כל ישראל לברך בשם המלכות, וכל הפוסקים שווים בזה, מי שבא להתחסד בזה, הרי הוא בונה במה לעצמו. אין זו חסידות, אלא ויחנו בחסרות. Play on words. ויש להורות לו שלא ישנה ממנהגם של ישראל. He goes very fire and brimstone against what the Ben Ish Chai said. He says, no, don't be too much chasid. Do like the minag, make the bracha, b'shem u'malchut. That's what he says over there. But anyway, this is what the Gemara calls ritcha deoraita, the fire of the Torah. His passion for Torah and for halacha, to do the right thing, he didn't mean chas v'shalom to be disrespectful. Many times you look in the poskim and they say things in a fiery, passionate way. Does it mean they want to chas v'shalom be disrespectful? Not pitom. It's because they want to get a point across. They want to show how important this thing with the bracha, the minhag, v'chule v'chule. So, Rabotai, I want to end off this discussion, the very interesting Chaye Adam. Chaye Adam. Rabbeinu Avraham Danzig was the Poisek in Vilna. He was also he was during the times of the Gaon. Yeah, he was the Poisek at the times of the Gaon Mivilna. The Gaon Mivilna never heard and never held any official capacity. Similar to the Ben Ish Chai. Very interesting. They never... He was, one was the Gaon of the town, and one was the Chaye Adam. Yeah, the Chaye Adam was also Gaon, but he was the Paisik. Yeah, so he writes over there, he's also Mechutanim with the Gaon. Yeah, the Chaye Adam writes, he says, if you see a rainbow, should you go and tell somebody about it? Why? Because you're being Mezakeh Otam Bibracha.
So why not?
Oh, because there's a Pasuk in Mishle Motzi Dibahu Kesil, which means a person who is the bearer of bad news. People sometimes like to be the bearer of bad news. Why? Because they get attention, credit, and yodama. Yeah, what? But it's going to reach him. Over here, that eventually, somebody's going to say it. Shlomo HaMelech says, if you're the bearer of bad news, you're a fool. You're not allowed to be the bearer of bad news. So over here, by telling people that there's a rainbow, what are you saying? You're bearing bad news that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to just destroy the world. And if not for the covenant, we would have been dead. So the Chaye Adam, Be'emet Paskin Zal Halacha, if you see a rainbow, make the bracha and keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody. And the Mishneh Berurah, Kaf HaChaim, and others bring it down to Halacha, like the Chaye Adam. Maran Zichron Bracha disagrees. He quotes a Sefer Brit Keuna, which was written by the Grand Rebbe of the Ish Matzliach, Hagaon Rabbi Chalfon Moshe HaKohen, Av Bedin of Tunis. He says over there, nope, not true. Incorrect. Says over here, forget about bracha. First of all, you're mizakeh the other people with the bracha. And number two, what else are you mizakeh otam? Teshuvah. You're being me'orer otam. You're giving them, you're awakening them to be chozer b'tshuva. You know, that's an opportunity to be chozer b'tshuva. Yeah, it could be chozer b'tshuva b'shabbat. We don't mention chataim, but me'orer b'tshuva is perfectly fine. And he says, that on the contrary, you're bringing zechut to people. Now again, you shouldn't, you know, make a kiddush out of a rainbow. Yeah, make a party time. Yay, rainbow. to be done to Kovid Rosh Rabotai. There's a rainbow outside. It's time for bracha and shuvah. So, and then you go notify people and you're mizakeh the rabbim v'chein halacha. And he says that's be'emet halacha. You go and tell the rabbim and you don't have to worry about being the bearer of bad news, because at the end of the day, you're being mizakeh people with the bracha overit, mitzvah overit, because otherwise it's going to be gone in a few minutes and you only have a few minutes to say it. So that's that. Rabotai, let's stop and say something in the parsha. Mikey, what do I hit? Okay, that's S'd up to you.
Yes.